Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 56, Foundations for Success. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Whether you're pro or slow, all success relies on solid foundations.
Good call, Doug. Good call, because you wouldn't believe how beautifully that leads into some things we're going to talk about today.
That is just not coincidence. You'd think after 56 episodes, I'd have figured it out that the little catchphrase needs to match the topic for discussion. How are you, Mr. Smith?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Hold up here under alert level 3. We are no longer in lockdown. Well, Lockdown 3.9, as someone termed it.
Yeah, which is actually quite interesting. You know, for some people it will have changed depending on what your industry is that you work in. For some people it'll just be the same, maybe just the ability to go a little bit further afield for your favourite takeaway.
Oh, and a hot topic that has been, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I'll be taking some fees shortly. You have a very large team with all walks of life. Be interesting to sort of hear a few stories, not that you'll know all of them, about what's been going on with some of them.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of people are still working from home, that things haven't really changed a lot on that front. But I think from a training perspective, that one of the beauties is that most people are going to venture a little bit further afield, that a lot of people have been staying literally in the neighbourhood over recent weeks. So it's just a chance to go out a bit more into the hills and a bit further outdoors on the bike if they haven't been. So there's a lot of people looking forward to that, I know.
Yeah, and I think being able to see some different scenery will be refreshing for the body and the mind, and to get out on the bike proper, because I think a lot of people have just been trainer-based. I'm sure people have gone some decent places running, but again, going running somewhere different is always nice. And you've been throwing a few challenges our way, which have led to some interesting running.
Well, I think that the important thing, again, at this time of year with everything we're going through, is keeping that balance of fun and challenge. And so we do a bit of challenging training during the week, some purposefully harder things in certain ways to just maintain those foundations for performance. And then very much seeing the weekends as a chance to enjoy being out there again. Lots less structure. And just go out to ride and to run and to enjoy that. Smell the roses a bit. You did mention the challenge of the weekend challenges. They're a bit different in terms of not hard training, but just something to do while we're out there. And what did you think of the GPS art challenge?
Well, I'm sure there's a market for an app that, you just Google a word you'd like to spell and, or a picture you'd like to draw, and it tells you exactly where to go, how to get the closest likeness in your region or your city. But
Dan, we needed that, didn't we?
Yeah, there were some very good efforts. There were some amazing, I don't know, Garmin or GPS maps of runs that looked like animals. Some look like animals that have been drawn by a two-year-old. Some people, and I won't name you, Gerard, look like you just did some colouring in, really, of the field at Nio School.
I was trying to think outside the box. Yeah, I thought, well, I'll just go colour in that bit of the map, riding up and down, up and down, up and down. It was kind of wax on, wax off. Good in some ways. Got a bit tedious after 20 minutes, though, I've got to say.
Yeah, well, I tried to throw in an Anzac poppy at Ian Galloway and got some weird looks the way I was running. I can't imagine the sideways glances you would have got at Nio School going backwards and forwards for an hour or so.
Yeah, parents were keeping their kids away from me, and I don't think that was because of lockdown.
Yeah, he's lost the plot. He's lost the plot. Those are some fun events. You know, there were another cancellation of one of our events. That we were looking forward to was announced over the weekend.
Yeah, so it's to be expected, but a shame, obviously, that the Wu2K Trail Marathon, Ultra Marathon here in Wellington, they've decided it won't go ahead this year, which is fair enough, as they explain that to put on any event, there is a lot of lead time and money to commit, medals to order, all of those kind of things. And if you're not very, very sure you're going to be able to put the event on, then you just can't afford to sink that kind of money and waste that investment of time and money. So, yeah, real shame that's been cancelled. I think everyone understands. But I had always said that if that didn't go ahead, we would do our own squad version of it. And we are doing that. So it won't be quite as long and epic as Wu2K would have been. But Miranda has certainly inspired me over the years with her passion for the Barclay Marathons. And so our event is going to remain reasonably under wraps, as that one does. And more details to come later on. But yeah, it should be a good thing that we can very safely do as a team, safely for ourselves, for any of the public who are out there, and have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, it's superb. And it's always, in my case, I do like to be working towards something. When it's a little bit unknown, the motivation for training can sort of wax and wane a little bit. So we'll look forward to that. And it probably sort of moves us quite nicely into the topic for this week's discussion.
Just before we do, that what you said there is really important, actually, that actually having something to train towards and do, because if we've got our event, that one, and with the Winterman event, which is going to happen in June, a couple of months away. And if we didn't have that, then there's really nothing else on the horizon. So it would be a real stretch through winter. So I think it's really important to have some nearer term things that keep us motivated, give us something to work towards. And we've got those that we've set up that other people can certainly do. Ironman has virtual events online. There's all sorts of virtual challenges and options out there, but having something to work towards is always so valuable.
Yeah, and I think imagination lends itself to motivation, because there's people, you know, in the squad who were training for half Ironman events that were going to be happening in 2-3 weeks in Australia.
Yeah,
it's not like you can say, oh well, I tell you what, I'll enter an event in Europe and fly over. Well, even that's out of the question. So it is all very much about being imaginative, creating something, sticking in the diary. It's going to be local because it needs to be. Let's look forward to that.
Yeah.
Even if you're going to keep most of it under wraps.
And we will be doing more of that as we go on as well, because there is still the rest of the year to go. Hopefully with the chance to do some half Ironman events as usual later in the year. But we definitely need some stepping stones in between times there.
Fantastic. Well, we've used an inordinate amount of time just waffling on about what's been going on and some of the challenges. But, whatever the event, whether it's 1,200 people or 30 people, you know, the foundations of success for individuals, and success looks different for people in many different ways, they're based on the same sort of things, whether you're a 8-hour Ironmaner or a 17-hour Ironmaner. Some initial thoughts on those?
So there's definitely foundations that everyone needs. And then I guess at different levels of performance, there are some slightly different needs, but there are absolute basics that everyone needs, that's for sure. You and I have probably talked about this before, just ourselves and a little bit on the podcast, but when I say foundations, a lot of people have different opinions or ideas about what that could be. And certainly some of the ones that I've heard in the past is people talk about training hard and mental toughness, and you've got to be genetically lucky and all of those kind of things. And yes, they do come into play, and they're needed at times through training, but I don't really consider those the foundations that everyone should be working on. In my mind, the biggest foundation is long-term health. And because we know that a lot of people do the sport for their health, for their well-being, both physical and mental. And so we've got to think about, okay, what do we need to put in place to give us that long-term health? And the idea of going out and smashing yourself all year round in training, I just don't see that as healthy. It's so important to have those peaks and troughs, times when you train harder, times when you pull it back a bit. And so one of those foundations right now is pulling it back a bit so we can be healthy through winter, so we can keep a balance with life and work and everything else going on.
Yeah, and we want to enjoy it, as you talked about, you know, the everyday athlete. The everyday athlete has a lot of other stuff going on, and you're right. We're in it for our physical and mental health, but we're not paid to do this. We can't go hard every day. We don't have 8 hours available every day to train and be massaged and stretched and whatever, and have someone tell you what you should and shouldn't eat, and literally put it on a plate for you. So yeah, that long-term health, that's a good one. The balance between training and life and work and everything else.
And you just mentioned a couple of other points in there, which are all part of the health, and that is nutrition as well. That the big, hard endurance training, in some ways it does get unhealthy from a nutrition point of view, because there is a lot of sports nutrition that gets sunk and consumed over those times. And that's just sugar, really, at the end of the day. And we all know that eating lots of sugar isn't a healthy thing to do. So there's a time to have it when you're chasing performance, but also a time where you want to be able to pull away from that and just get your day-to-day nutrition working really, really well to support an easier level of training, all of that keeping you healthy as well.
Yeah, and it's one of the nutrition, unless you've got a sponsor's product, which most of us don't. Mm-hmm. Nutrition is one of those things that we can do just about as well as the pros.
Yeah, yep, that's for sure. Look, another foundation is having a durable body. And I've been talking a bit more about this recently because I recognize it's something that I have neglected or haven't pushed enough in the past, that we all want to do the swim, bike, run training. But again, the work that you can put in to make sure your body is durable, that it's going to be resistant to injury, that you've got a range of motion that lets you use the body as it's intended to be, and that kind of strong to build performance on, all of those things, that this is the perfect time of year to be working on those. And just before we started the podcast, we were having a good chat about what we're doing for you, Doug. And a lot of that is not sexy fun stuff. It is the balance and stability, like we're talking about standing on one foot and actually teaching the body how to balance again. And that's quite a frustrating thing for a lot of people, to actually pull right back to that level and make sure that those foundations are in place.
Yeah, and I'm no sports scientist of any ilk whatsoever, but I'm certainly a convert. Up until probably 2 years ago, I did very little around core or mobility, whether it was ankles or calves or standing on one leg. I was about the three disciplines and just doing those, and that'll see me right. But, and it's not age is not an excuse, because, we all have the ability to make our body more durable and less prone to injury. And last year, I, until New Year's Eve morning, when I slightly tweaked a calf, I had a whole year without a single injury. Yeah. There was no training session I wasn't able to do. And I put it solely down to yourself, Gerard. Yep, I wasn't a big enthusiast of buying a skipping rope and doing some skipping or whatever, but that stability and durability of my ankles, Achilles, calves was absolutely key. Because when that's stable, I'm not guessing because I've had enough professional people tell me, when that's stable, the rest of your muscles, the rest of your body is doing what it should, not compensating, not overdoing something because your quads aren't doing more because your glutes aren't firing, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit to it, but I think all of us have bits that could do with improving more than others. So as Gerard said, now is a great time when the training's not so full on, not so hard out, that you have a strength and maintenance or mobility two or three times a week, or as recommended by your triathlon coach.
And look, that it's certainly not my area of expertise. What I do know is that it's beneficial, that I haven't yet come across a person who's done it and hasn't felt like they've benefited from it. But it's one of those things that's so intangible, you don't really measure it, notice it, feel it until you get to that point where you go, oh, a year without injury, or you get that performance that comes through at your peak event. But it's all of that work that you've done through the whole year to build it up to that point, which makes that happen.
And I think another one, you did mention it to me, Gerard, that you've got the durable body, but when the training's not quite so intense, you can work on some of those finer skills that are involved in the events that we do.
Yeah, and look, we've been doing that over recent weeks with the squad, and particularly with all the opportunity for indoor training at this time of year through being through lockdown. It's been great to get on there and challenge people with higher and lower cadences, various intensities, and to train outside of the usual scope of what you do.
And I've certainly seen that, and that's and it's great stuff, you know, because going at those low cadences and thinking about making a full pedal stroke and using the whole sort of circle of the pedal stroke, rather than most of us probably operate within the 30% bit, that just that first initial push down. So it allows you to concentrate, and particularly when it's at an effort that's not absolutely gut busting, it allows you to, I think I am pushing equally with both legs, and I seem to be, there's no drop off, there's no sort of slide at the bottom or flick at the top. It seems to be a good solid stroke. So, another thing to pass an hour on the trainer with is thinking about that.
Even without the hard training, just the engaging with what you're doing an hour on the trainer, you're absolutely right. It can disappear, and that is so valuable. Now, obviously, we haven't been in the pool, but this time of year is usually a fantastic opportunity for swim technique as well. That, in our swim squads, is that we pull back some of the intensity and do a big block really working on technique. And it takes time, and it takes a lot of people several seasons to go through again and again and again. But you pick up something every time. That it's so worth pulling back to those foundations for a period.
Okay. Yeah, and that is a bit of a, I think for some of us, a bit of an issue not being able to get in the pool, because probably of all the things, the swim technique is one that could really do with some work. But hey, we'll do what we can.
Yeah, that's for sure. And look, the other key area of foundations, and this list is by no means exhaustive, but it's all what I think are simple, practical things that everyone can do right now. And one of those is that whatever you're doing for these foundations, it's sustainable over time. That you can get into a routine where you do this work consistently, week in, week out, for several months on end, and that you're not absolutely destroying yourself in training and questioning your will to live because you are hammering it all right now. I don't want to say you want to be bored, but you don't want to be so overly engaged and stimulated and chasing performance that you let everything else go. You want to be relaxed about your approach, and you just go, yep, can consistently do this week in, week out. I'm getting benefits. It's not destroying me. I'm keeping the balance with life. I'm having fun in what I'm doing. This is sustainable, because at the end of the day, it's the people who get that really good, consistent run over time who are going to get the benefits from their training. The people who go put in a huge effort for a period and then it wipes them out, or they get sick, or they get bored, want to change focus, they're just not getting that consistency over time, which is so, so valuable.
Yeah, and I can really only repeat what you said, Gerard. It's about smashing yourself, but doing things that you feel are going to be advantageous in the long term. and nothing happens overnight. You're right about those, you know, whether it's calf raises or trying to get some ankle flexibility for swimming or whatever. It's it takes time. But yeah, just again, probably the word used most in all of our podcasts is balance. Yeah. But it's just about finding that right balance and maybe even be able to balance on one leg.
Now, apparently one of the other words we use a lot is pizza. So just had to slip that in there for you, Jackie, just to make sure we did mention it this week. Don't we miss that one?
Well, I hope she's not playing some lockdown drinking game where every time we say pizza, she has to drink, because I've just said pizza twice.
All right. Hey, look, just to quickly wrap up, is that these are the kind of things that I'm trying to build in for our squad and the training that we're doing over time. But of course, I can't do it all. What I really expect is for me to be able to give people direction and put in some key things to do in the training plans. But I think everyone out there needs to take a bit of look at themselves and go, what am I doing for my long-term health? Am I getting that balance right at the moment? Am I doing some things to get the body durable and prepared for what comes later? Am I putting some time into working on the skills? And can I do this all for the long term without wearing myself down or getting bored or shopping and changing all the time? So I think if everyone kind of assesses themselves on those criteria, then that helps you just kind of keep working along the direction that's going to set up those foundations, which will make you much, much more successful come the peak time of the season later in the year.
Sounds like a master plan to me, Gerard. So yeah, again, fantastic words of wisdom. And yeah, we've got a lot of time at the moment. Again, depending on whether you're back to work or not, I think just being at home, you do think a little bit more. So yeah, great time to look at those foundations, some of those areas and focus on them, because yeah, when the events come up and when next summer arrives, we'll be even better prepared.
Sounds good. Let's do it. All right. We'll see you again. Pizza, same time, same place next week then.
Look forward to it. All cheers right, to you.
See you.